You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
The computer audio crashed, so I will get that up and running. We will get that up and running. I'm not going to go into a back room and move some wires around. We'll get that up and running, and we will play that Conor McGregor sound for you in a moment. But Greg Cody, for some reason, felt the need during this break to say to me, the Steelers are going to be really good.
Yeah.
And I think everyone is really falling in love with them having two quarterbacks who aren't Kenny Pickett, who they've seen had success before. And I just keep thinking that they were available cheap for a reason. Like, it doesn't mean that the rest of the league can't be wrong on some of this. But, I mean, the last version of Russell Wilson that you saw was a very constipated offense. But I think most people have the opinion that you have, which is those quarterbacks are going to be better. How do you screw that up? And I present to you Arthur Smith.
That's fair. I'm not going to defend that club, but Pittsburgh, Russell Wilson, I thought was okay last year. 2 years ago, he was awful. Last year, I thought it was a little bit of a comeback year for him. And Justin Fields, I think, is a great contrast. I think the two of them, I can almost envision a two-quarterback system that might actually work, where you play both guys, where both guys might commonly get 10, 15 passes a game because you're going to play them depending on series and score and opponent. I think they're going to get a lot out of both guys this season, and I think it's an interesting mix. And the other thing is, Russell Wilson came cheap only because he was willing to because of all the money still being paid by Denver. And Justin Fields reportedly had four other teams interested in him, but he was lobbying hard behind the scenes to get to Pittsburgh.
But he was had cheap. I understand he had other opportunities. He was had cheap only because the other opportunities weren't a lot better.
Fair.
For Chicago. Like, if somebody was offering a second-round pick, he would not be in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Like, my guess is that the all other things being close to equal, they sent him where it is that he wanted to go. And if I told you right now, I don't know the answer to the question I'm asking, but if I told you that Russell Wilson wasn't being paid by the Broncos, was just a total free agent, what do you think he's getting where? You think he's getting a lot of money? You believe that after what he's done the last couple of seasons, that that's a big contract that he's getting?
I think he's – I could be wrong. I think he's getting a second-tier Geno Smith-type contract. He's not 50. He's not $40 million a year, but I think he's a guy who's getting a $30 million
a year deal. Okay, but Sean, you correct me if I'm wrong, because I understand that some shine came off the bloom when the Dolphins were scoring 70 off them. But Sean Payton is supposed to know quarterbacks, correct? And they're paying him a ton of money to know quarterbacks. And they made a giant investment in order for him to know quarterbacks. And he got there and promptly ran him out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, very quickly, the reports were coming out where you're hearing sources say Sean Payton keeps telling Russell Wilson, hey, stop with the politics stuff and the kissing of babies and concentrate on playing quarterback. He didn't like him from the beginning.
Right.
And when I give a quarterback a lot of money, and then I give a coach a lot of money to be a quarterback trainer, and that coach comes in and immediately runs off the quarterback in a way that makes us all gasp because we can't believe how quickly Denver realized its mistake. You're telling me that you know more about Russell Wilson and his prospects than Sean Payton does.
Or
you feel better about his prospects than Sean Payton does. Because if he could do what you think he could do in Pittsburgh, my guess is that Sean Payton would have had him doing it in Denver.
When I say I like the combination of those two, it's because in Russell Wilson, you have a guy who's not chronologically over the hill yet. He should have a few more prime seasons, and I think he might. And he's got the proverbial chip on his shoulder yet, still, to prove that he ain't done yet. And Justin Fields is the opposite. He's the guy who one team gave up on, maybe prematurely, but probably only because they had the top pick and a very good guy to get. So they're discarding Justin Fields, who I think is better than being discarded at his age with his remaining potential. I think as a mix, I think it's a good combination.
If I'm reading between the lines here, what my dad's saying, it sounds like you're saying that the Steelers quarterback room is the hungriest room in the league.
Yeah, it could be. It could very well be, because you have two guys who both think they should start.
Because most quarterbacks are fed well. Most quarterbacks, you don't look at them and you're like, man, this guy really needs to prove something, or this guy. Most quarterbacks are paid the most. Like, right. You're looking at a room right here where these guys both have to work. I'm a half kidding with the hungry analogy, but I do think that both of these guys have a lot to prove.
Right, they do. Motivation matters, right? They do still both have a lot to prove for very different reasons at different points in their career. I think the mix is going to be great. The motivation is going to be great. I haven't investigated the rest of the team. They always have a decent running game. They always have a decent defense. They could use a wide receiver in the draft, but I just think they're a team on the rise, and I think the quarterback room is one of the most interesting in the league.
I am profoundly sad right now because what just happened to our show, we're headed to 20 years doing this. And for, I'm going to say, 19 and a half of those years, a lot to prove, motivation, hunger, and team on the rise, thrown together,
yeah,
would have made me vomit all over your face.
But you see what he's saying here.
Yeah.
Who's the least hungry quarterback room?
Lot to prove, motivation, hunger,
right.
Team on the rise.
You also said Sean Payton knows quarterbacks, and his extent of knowing quarterbacks is he had Drew Brees, and then he didn't, and he retired.
Yeah.
And then he came back. But like, he won one Super Bowl with Drew Brees, one of the greater quarterbacks in NFL history.
I understand that viewpoint. I would also say to you that the reason that he was hired at that amount of money and no one had an objection to being him being hired as a free agent for that amount of money is because everyone listening to this says that guy is good at making quarterbacks better.
I think you could argue he did in Denver. Russell Wilson did have a better year by the standard that he had set there earlier. And it was because schematically you could see Sean Payton's influence. Now, whether that is Russell Wilson's inability to want to push the ball further downfield like he did earlier in his career, or whether that was coached out of him, I don't know if we'll ever get a sincere answer, especially when you consider Russell Wilson as a part of this data. But you like the fit in Pittsburgh in that they've never had much. And if it comes to hiding a quarterback, not unlike Sean Payton did in Denver, why not hide that quarterback? Russell Wilson seems to be a perfectly fine quarterback to hide.
The problem with what you guys are saying is I believe that all of the analysis of this stems from the place I'm about to state. Because if I gave these two quarterbacks, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, to most of the teams in the league, I think it would be a lukewarm enthusiasm for that situation. But this isn't about the quarterbacks they signed. This is about the quarterbacks who were in that room that all of us know couldn't play. All of us saw enough of all three of them to say, those guys aren't good enough, so clearly anybody would be better whose name I've heard.
Really unprofessional stuff surrounding Kenny Pickett. That's my opinion surrounding the not wanting to dress out, not wanting receiving the news that they were bringing Russell Wilson in poorly. Just like, who are you? What have you accomplished in the pros?
It's weird that he would prefer to go to back up Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia than to back up Russell Wilson, but it would suggest that he's fed up with everything there. Like, that's a, to me, that's harder to get on the field when you've got a young Jalen Hurts who just signed giant for giant money.
Has anyone told him who the hell do you think you are?
Right.
Have they tried that? Because who the hell does Kenny Pickett think he is?
Well, you say this, and I would say a star in Pittsburgh because of what he did in college. That's who he thinks he is. He thinks he's an exceptional.
No, I don't doubt that he thinks he's someone.
And he's
wrong. But has someone grabbed him by the shoulders and told him you ain't shit yet?
Really? Just like that?
Well, it's just because in the pros, he's not.
No.
I don't understand. This could very well be like he's playing his pro games in the same building that he was an exceptional collegiate athlete, but who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah, Kenny Pickett, you can imagine as a career backup. You can imagine that he's already peaked and he's going to hang around.
But good career backups are good teammate guys.
Yeah, that's true.
And he doesn't appear to be that right now.
Whereas with Justin Fields, he's maybe a backup right now, but he's not. Justin Fields has talent. He's like a Jalen Hurts Jr., in my opinion.
They're also incentivized for him to not see the field because it's a conditional draft pick, and if he gets more than half the snaps, I believe it turns into a fourth, which is still pretty good. Like, if Justin Fields is getting half your snaps and you're hanging around the way that Mike Tomlin usually does, I really can't spot much of a difference between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields from a production standpoint.
Can we please address what it is that you're asking there? Because I do think it's a great question.
Who's the hungriest quarterback?
No, that's a terrible question.
Oh.
Who the hell do you think you are? It's just a great question to ask somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who the hell do you think you are? I am.
That's right.
I think Kenny Pickett would what would you do if you come up all indignant, right? Because it's a great question to ask somebody. You're filled with gall, right? It's a great question. Who the hell do you think you are? And what if Kenny Pickett looked at you and said, Gardner Minshew? I think I'm Gardner Minshew.
Wow, that would be some self-awareness there that I'm begging to see out of Kenny Pickett. No, I think he flips his hair and he says, I'm Kenny Pickett. Kenny I'm the bleeping. Guy that changed the rules in the ACC.
Kenny bleeping Pickett, who I changed the rules in the ACC because I fake slid during a bowl game.
Terrible rule. This is the most inconsistently called rule. Just go back to, all right, Kenny Pickett, you got one on us. Only one person had got one on us.
Who the hell do you think you are? It feels good. Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Oh, I put you in charge of the polls again. Does it feel good to say to somebody, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah. The hell do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? I am!
I feel like that's a rhetorical question. Like, you say that almost as a pejorative, and you really don't expect an answer. You're just making a claim.
That right there from bowling...
Who do you think you are? I am!
...is magical, and is I'm him before I'm him and better done. That's Pete Weber. Greg Cody started writing bowling at the Miami Herald.
Did.
Isn't that how you started at the Miami Herald, writing bowling?
I remember Pete Weber's father, Dick Weber, back in the glory days of bowling.
Big Dick Weber.
Yeah, where Earl Anthony and Pete Roth, what was his Roth's name? The Roth guy.
We don't
You're
know.
Asking us?
Really?
What a great bowler back
really?
In the 70s. Yeah.
Earl
really?
Anthony and them boys.
I know Don Carter.
Yeah. Don
and
Carter
Paula,
was
Paula
Don
Carter,
and,
too.
Don and Paula Carter. Uh-huh. Paula Sperber Carter. I knew all those people, man. That was my first job at the Herald, writing a Broward bowling column.
What a weird time that must have been.
Electric beat.
It really was. I was like 17 years old. I used to sneak in names of my friends among the bowling agate.
What?
Yeah.
I love that.
Who do you think you are?
Nobody
wrote about Dade?
Dick Evans did.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A Herald legend, Dick Evans.
So many bigs around bowling back then.
Younger brother of Luther Evans, the Herald horse riding horse
I was going to ask.
Nepotism.
I thought it 60s. Sounded familiar.
Those are the days, man. Yeah, Edwin Pope, we get Edwin on the phone.
I don't think those were the days. I don't think those were the days.
They would be able to do that.
They were days, no doubt.
The newspaper was, king back then, and Luther Evans was covering the king of sports.
Miami Herald, he just admitted a journalistic crime that'll get you fired, making up names in the paper.
At 17, I did do that a couple of times.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Levitard.
I miss crank windows. Too many unnecessary conveniences now, cruise control. Please, I've got cruise control built in. It's called my right foot. It controls how fast the car goes. No button or steering wheel lever needed. Power steering. There's another one. Why do I want to give my power to the car? The power that I once had. The car is a ton of metal. I'm a damn college graduate.
Stugatz.
Bluetooth. HD radio. Satellite. I'll take AM, please. With Wolfman Jack talking through the static. And I'll crank the windows down so everybody can hear. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I saw a friend of mine this weekend, and he gave me a piece of information. And when he gave me the information, I slapped him hard on the shoulder, and I'm like, good for you, the way that you would if, you know, someone told you that they were announcing that they're pregnant. Like, I was really happy for my friend, and he saw happiness on my face as I slapped him on the shoulder. And what he had said to me was, I deleted my Twitter. And I was genuinely happy for him because for a few minutes he will get out of this general poisonous addiction that is filled with a lot of funny. Honest to God, it's like going to the comedy club and having the room filled with like a poisonous smoke. You're going to the comedy club because you're there for the jokes, and you just see it getting darker and darker and darker. And something I have talked about quite a bit, I believe it's the globe's most untreated addiction. The fact that we're all kind of cool with, if you're sitting there in, you know, on a sidewalk and you start counting the number of people who are walking past you, looking into their phones, you realize that we are an addicted people. Like it, that it is something that has infected the entirety of the human race and is also great fun that is difficult to quit.
It's entirely like that. A couple of weeks ago in this studio, I come up from my car, I discover I left my iPhone in my car. I couldn't be without it. Like, the first opportunity, I'm flying back to my car to get my cell phone just to have it with me. It's turned off, it's face down, but I have to have it with me. It's like a security blanket. It's crazy.
Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Do you have withdrawal if you've lost your phone for a few hours, because I think a lot of people would say what you're saying, that we've gotten so used to. One of the things about the addiction that's so interesting is that the need for stimuli makes it so that when you are without it, for, because it's changed everything. It's changed our attention spans. It's changed our need for action, our need to have multiple things stimulating us in a way that separate us from the present and an old-fashioned way of living. But I'm guessing that everyone I'm talking to understands the feeling I'm talking about, that if you've lost your phone, you're sort of like, oh, what do I now do with these spare spaces that I don't want to start thinking about some other stuff? How do I distract myself by just heading toward some place where I know there will be something that gives me a feeling, and I may come from it thinking it's a good feeling, but very often it ends up being a shit feeling, and in no way in there am I examining, oh, I think I might be addicted to this thing in a way that's not terribly healthy.
You just gave me an idea that I think we should do as a show and have no phone week and just see how we deteriorate as the week goes on. Obviously, I don't know
how much better the show is.
I don't know if the show might be bad, and that could be funny to see too.
It could be better or it could be worse, because a lot of people get their ideas on what they're going to discuss next by seeing anything breaking on social media.
So I'm not allowed to speak to my family for a show bit?
We would all have to be trusted. Yeah, just to see what would happen to us if after 4 days since all of us had our phone. I just think it'd be interesting to see where we all were mentally.
And my addiction, I discover, is not nearly that of some other people. My wonderful wife is truly addicted to her phone.
Dad, you're not addicted at all, by the way. When you were talking about your addiction, because Dad, I'll try to call you and you're like, oh, wasn't by my phone. Like, you're one of the few people in my life that sometimes I can't get a hold of you because you're just like, oh, my phone was in the kitchen. So I think of you, and you're sitting here saying how you're addicted to it. I think you're better than most are.
Oh, but I should tell you that I have done some reading about demographics and some things that are just
on your phone.
Simply happening. The iPad, the addiction spreads. I have to have some sort of device on me at all times.
I need to read. Give me the bigger one.
That's right. My eyes aren't working as well. Give me the one that I can hold in my hand so that it feels somewhat like a book, like the old days when people read like men.
And women.
But what'd you learn? Yeah, you were going somewhere.
Read. Women can read too.
I know. I did that because
it was the olden days.
Because right. It was the olden days. Back when women didn't have the same equality.
Craig was writing about bowling.
Exactly.
Well, in Broward.
I do want to get back to that. But however bad you think, if you're listening to this, you think you are, and you think the younger generation is, the amount of content being consumed by teens and early 20 dwarfs how other people are consuming content and has changed television, obviously, in ways that are overt. So overt that I will tell you that this weekend I experienced something that I almost only and exclusively experience through sports. I'm watching Peacock and I'm tolerating a minute of commercials. And I'm thinking to myself, as it's happening, when's the last time that something that wasn't sports is something that I was viewing?
You have Peacock Premium?
Yeah. With commercials.
That is a shocker.
Hard times.
I know. Valerie said to me as it was happening, she's like, it's $5 extra a month. And I'm like, no.
Really?
I'm like, no. No, I'm not giving, what? No.
Do you know how much that is a day? I have to do the math on that.
It's
60 never cents? Call me cheap.
I think
cheap
it's 6
again.
Cents, something like that, right?
Never call me cheap again, by the way.
No, this is principle. This isn't about cheap. This is not about
it. What's the principle when you're complaining about the commercials?
I'm noticing something about myself that I did not know. It was a moment of self-awareness because I'm being stopped by commercials, and it's been so long that I've watched anything with commercials, because usually when I'm watching multiple sports things, I don't have to focus that one of the games is in a commercial. And last night, I'm assuming most of you are like we are around here, where the Heat game was a relief because it was 40-point difference, and so you could go watch some other things.
I noticed commercials when I was watching live Nickelodeon or live Disney Channel with my daughter. Man, they should not be allowed to have commercials for children.
Very
it
impressionable.
Is ridiculous. These kids
want everything.
Everything that they everything. See on television.
They're trying
everything.
To skip. The TV.
No.
You can't skip on the TV.
Well, yeah, no. Yes, they go and do try to hit the thing that says skip. Like, if it's YouTube and it says skip on the bottom corner, they will go and try to hit. But, the fact that companies can market products to children in children's programming should be investigated. This is insane. I must have been horrible as a child, seeing all these commercials for all these toys that I wanted, and there wasn't an option to not see commercials. Now when I see commercials, because kids are not ever seeing commercials, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want that, I want that. And it's because these ads are marketing to children.
Yeah, you got. We were desensitized by the commercials. We knew that every time Creepy Crawlers came on, all right, it's either Mighty Max or Creepy Crawlers. You got to pick one.
Oh my
God. Now they just want it all.
Creepy Crawlers, by the way, easy bake oven for boys.
Yep.
Or, you know, people that liked insects.
Put it on the poll, Juju. Should it be illegal to market commercials targeting impressionable children?
And you realize that when you buy the thing, oh, wait, there isn't an electrical storm that's going overhead when I play Crossfire.
Crazy.
That only exists in the commercial.
You'll get caught up in the...
Crossfire!
See, it used to be simple back in my day. The commercial was for a Slinky. You'd see a Slinky walking down a stair.
Everyone
that was all you needed.
A Slinky.
All you needed. A Slinky. That's right.
I need to circle back around for a second to point out to both the audience and the Miami Herald that Greg Cody, in an earlier segment, admitted to a journalistic crime. That
crime may be a strong word.
Misrepresentation.
Trying to get him retroactively fired?
I mean, I think the statute of limitations is up given that this was before words had been invented.
Yeah, that's correct.
He was 17.
The original manuscript.
Yeah, my editors are all dead by now who might have overseen that faux pas.
He said during the break, he told me that Jake Gyllenhaal's, father or grandfather worked as an executive editor at the Miami Herald.
Yeah. Really?
Anders Gyllenhaal. Uncle Anders.
So if Greg is to be tried now, since the crime happened when he was 17, would he go to juvie?
Me and in a juvenile cell would be funny.
I was surprised, Billy, that you didn't have any follow-up questions.
There's a Will Ferrell movie there.
That's true.
On Greg Cody admitting to putting his friends, and he would do it discreetly. He wouldn't give them any winning scores. He would just tuck them in the agate type.
You don't want to send up a red flag.
Adam Sandler just got $70 million to make this movie for Netflix. Yeah.
You know how the script goes. The old person goes in. There's mean kids that are bossing this person around. They can't meet friends. There's the outcast group of friends. And then take in this old man who went to juvie for committing a crime when he was, 14 or something.
He then ends up learning so much about himself and becoming a better man for it.
And teaches also the bully kids that there needs to be more understanding.
Not without romance.
World. Well, this one without romance, please.
Well, there's a teacher. Yeah, but power dynamics are fine when it's a woman that's in charge, I guess.
So he's in juvie and somebody's asking, what are you in for? And he's saying, I gave Paul Radke a 220 in bowling.
Right.
I made it up. I made it up. And you're admitting to making something up. You're admitting that...
A couple of times I did it. I'm not overemphasizing. It's a
joke.
This
is the same as the Carissa Thompson thing. Just running was like, didn't get the quotes he needed, so just kind of filling in the blank.
No, I don't do that, but I did a couple of times sneak in the name of a couple of friends into bowling agate. Agate, for those who don't know, is the very, very small type that nobody ever reads. Unless it's like every year with the Miami Marathon, we run page after page of all the people who entered the marathon. Nobody gives a shit. Well, unless you're running in the race, you are not reading any of that.
It's those people care. Those people.
But you just sold 100 papes.
That's right. That's exactly
for people
what
that wanted to see their name in print.
I mean, I miss the days when you ran because you were competing or you wanted to be healthy. These people that enter these marathons, now they want a medal. They want their name in the paper. How about just do it for the right reasons? Raise the money. Have the money go to whatever thing. You get your stupid shiny medal. You need your name in the paper now, too. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Exactly. Taking up the whole street the entire day, kind of bothering an entire city wherever it is, ruining traffic patterns for all. Like, enough's enough already. Run on a treadmill now that we're at it.
Billy has it right on, man.
Thank you.
Spot on. Bullseye.
Greg, we make fun of your age around here, and I just got done saying that you worked at the Herald before the invention of words.
Yeah,
but
slight exaggeration.
Slight exaggeration, but I do think that we shouldn't just skip past the fact that when we were talking about commercials, you went to Slinky, and Slinky is like one of the original toys. Like, it's one of the first.
I can't believe there were TV commercials.
It's a rock, there was a stick, and there was a slinky. It's like one of the original toys.
Chia.
The Chia Pet. That's
not a toy. Yeah. It's Chia Pet.
No, but it was marketed.
It's not a toy. Chia Pet is not a toy.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Libertard.
Are you back on the caffeine? Are you back on the Red Bull?
Something's wrong. Yeah.
something's wrong.
I mean, it's unbelievable how manic he is, and he keeps you know, chewing on his bottom teeth in a way that's scaring me a little bit.
Stugatz.
I've been up since 5:30 a.m. producing content. And in terms of being able to be on, my body needs a little boost. And that's why I turned to cocaine.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
Overrated toy.
Yeah.
Even for its time.
We can talk about the Slinky because the guy that invented it, thank you for your service, but you didn't invent anything. You saw a spring go downstairs and you said, that's a toy. Let me just change the metal consistency and this will keep moving. Didn't invent anything.
Yeah,
again, thank you for your service. You were a naval officer, but you didn't invent anything. You saw an accident happen, and you capitalized on it.
Nothing wrong with that.
And the aluminum one's very dangerous. You could slice yourself open.
See, absolutely. I like the aluminum ones. Once they turned plastic, they lost me.
Mm-hmm. But they're, I mean, very dangerous, the aluminum coil.
You want the metal ones. That's how you teach kids lessons.
It's the most satisfying sound.
A good toy should have a certain amount of danger in it to teach a kid a lesson.
Like a choking hazard? Yep.
Yeah.
What?
Precisely.
A safe amount
like
of danger.
Those wax army figurines.
Mm-hmm.
Get a minesweeper stuck in your, you know, your throat.
That'll learn you. Yeah,
no,
exactly.
The way that Billy described it was quaint. The way once you make it a choking hazard, now I have the visions of all of your children, all of you, all four of you have little girls, and I have now visions of all four of them choking. A choking hazard is aggressive.
I've saved her life at least twice.
You shouldn't be thinking about our children dying.
She's playing marbles and everything.
Reach in there, pull the thing out.
Choking hazard, like that's.
Yeah, no, you have to be mindful at all times.
Mm-hmm. Pretty terrible. You
got to teach kids young not to choke.
Yeah, I'm constantly.
Chris
parenting
Paul never
is,
learned.
Parenting is just like running through doomsday scenarios. What is the absolute worst thing that can happen here? Because it'll likely happen occasionally, and it has, you know.
Mm-hmm. The all-time classic choking hazard for me is the marble because it looks candy. It looks like a little round thing that you would chew. And it's just dangerous on the face of it. You know, you don't want, nobody's going to swallow a Slinky.
Balloons are also very dangerous.
Yeah.
Balloons,
but there's
very
a million dangerous.
Whatever happened to the marble? We don't play marbles or jacks anymore.
No.
Or pogs.
I mean, people are still playing for all the marbles, but you never literally see a marble anymore.
Never literally.
Yeah. And imagine if the prize for a sports team was marbles.
Oh wow.
You know?
It'd be incredible.
I mean, they'd be like, what is this? Well, give me money.
Maybe
me
we haven't seen them because of, you know, the Patriots dynasty.
Well, someone could have won all the marbles, and that may be why there are no more.
If that's you're given all of something, that's even if they're marbles, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll take all the marbles.
I wouldn't.
Now I have all the marbles.
Where are these balls of wax?
If I won all the crickets in the world, I wouldn't be happy.
How do you play marbles? What is the actual game of marbles?
Some with jacks where
you try to grab as many of those pins as possible if you're
No, that's jacks. That's the bouncing ball, and then you get them. With marbles, I think you fling a marble like with your thumb or what. I think you have them in a circle, and I think you have to hit the marbles out of the circle.
Oh,
closest to an object.
What?
No, that's horseshoes.
Or hand
close,
grenades.
Exactly right. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Or bocce.
I played Candyland this weekend for the first time in years.
Old school.
Overrated.
It had a glow up that I don't think was necessarily a glow up. They changed it now instead of like, I remember Candyland having like a spinner or something that you had to like flick to kind of figure out where you had to go.
Yes.
Now you just flip over a card and it tells you move one red square, move two red squares.
No, they always had the cards.
One green.
They always
I don't
had
remember.
The cards.
I think that the cards is an advancement.
Flimsy game. Flimsy game.
Easy to understand.
Not really a thinking person's game.
It's intended for children.
It's also always been cards. I'm a big life guy.
The game of life.
I'm really into life right now.
Yeah. Monopoly is still the king.
And absolutely.
Too complicated.
Too long.
And you know it.
Too long.
Well, it's an endurance test with Monopoly.
Yeah.
You know, you start off with four people, and you end up with two people. It's 4 hours later, and you're like, sell me Park Place for crying out loud.
Exactly right.
It gets to be a ridiculous face-off. Nobody wins. The game takes forever.
So many arguments.
I mean, mortgages.
But the banker's drunk.
In the defense of Monopoly players, that's how endurance tests were meant to be played. You have your endurance test, you keep it amongst the people who are participating that. Not like these damn runners who need their medals and their names in the papers. I never see the name in the paper of someone who played Monopoly yesterday. And I'd argue finishing a game of Monopoly more impressive than running a marathon.
Good point.
I think more people finish marathons than finish games of Monopoly annually.
Yep.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Le Batard Show. Annually, do more people finish marathons than games of Monopoly? Also put on the poll, bigger choking hazard, marbles or J.J. Barea? I want to know from all of you, when you think of thinking man's game and not thinking man's game, when you think of the top end of what is a thinking man's game, like
chess.
Word association.
Chess. First pick off the board.
And because I was thinking more in terms of Trivial Pursuit, Jeopardy. I was thinking.
How many action movies do you see where the villain is playing Trivial Pursuit?
Ooh, Scrabble.
I understand that it's a movie contrivance as the thinking man's game, and you may have already...
When Ronaldo and Messi are getting together for a once-in-a-lifetime photo shoot, they're not playing Parcheesi.
You ever see the video of like the best chess player in the world? He like shows up super late to tournaments where he has like... You get a certain amount of time, and he wastes like 80% of his time because he's so good.
Yeah.
It's like a mind game he plays with people where like the opponent's sitting there just like...
Asshole.
Yeah, it's a little look at me, this guy.
Asshole.
Just win the game quick. Yeah, all right? You're wasting a lot of people's time.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. When you're caught dead in your tracks in the game of life, well, not the board game of life, the normal game of life, they say checkmate. You know, they don't say, like, you landed on Park Place.
King me. If you were listening to this and you heard a sound. Look at me, it's because I accidentally just hit the first note of that, and it was like it pinballed through the room. It careened, and you might have heard it and then questioned yourself, but you heard it correctly. Is marbles is one of the least thinking men's game, right? And women think too. I know.
And people read too on their phones and iPads.
Yes, we've covered that.
I'd say it's chess by a mile. Everybody's playing for second.
Uno's
I don't know
who's
close.
No, but how about on the low end? How about not? It just doesn't require. Because Billy said Candyland, not exactly.
Yeah, checkers. Well, checkers.
Red light,
checkers,
green light, I suppose.
There's strategy with checkers.
Yeah. Freeze dance. Uno.
Uno.
Uno, you got it. Uno, you need strategy. If you go into Uno without strategy,
Uno requires strategy.
As card games, though, it does. Like Rummy 500 doesn't require a whole lot of thinking.
I am seeing.
It's just got such a good publicist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Connect Four is pretty challenging.
Yeah,
I would love to see a big baddie in a movie playing Connect Four.
Yeah. Tic Tac Toe.
Don't start in the. If you start in the middle with Tic Tac Toe, you're a rookie.
Yeah.
They just put up here some video of Candyland, which suggests to me that video is now working, which means I can go back to this Jake Gyllenhaal interview with. It was not just Jake, but it was also Conor McGregor. They are selling Roadhouse. And you guys tell me here if you think that Conor McGregor is sober here.
No.
What did Jake bring to the table from the realism when it came to the fight game?
Jake's a consummate professional, 75 movies made. You know, I'm blessed to have entered into the movie alongside him. He was patient with me. He gave me guidance.
Yeah,
and I just took it. You know, we had a good rapport on set. He has 75 movies made. I have 75 bar fights made. And that's it. We had a good back.
Sometimes I had to remind him.
Like, I landed one punch.
Once.
And he hit me with a door. Other than that, it was absolutely perfect.
That's true.
An amazing stunt team, Garrett Warden and Steve Brown. And they were phenomenal with us. They gave us free rein. And we've done a good job.
Is it hard for you, Connor, at all? Because you've been in so many real fights to realize, I'm trying to make this look real, but, you know, I am acting.
For me, what was hard was it was time consuming. 18 hours on set. Very little rest. It was strange to me, but you know, the fight scenes, I was happy to give my input and my oar. And Jake, as I said, is a consummate professional. We've done a good job.
This is one of the great talkers in the history of sports. He wouldn't stop moving his shoulders throughout the entirety of what it is that he was saying there. I generally just worry for him when you read about the recklessness, and I don't know whether that is recklessness, whether that is taking a lot of punches, but I will tell you again, after Muhammad Ali, this is one of the great talkers in the history of sports. He's plenty excellent as a fighter, but he's more excellent as a talker. He sold his fights. I understand what he did to BJ Penn and how it is that he arrived, but he taught all of the Masvidals and Covingtons and all of these people in that sport who have now gotten big paydays because of their mouth. He taught them how to bluster. He was better at it than anyone. And when I see that video, I get worried for him. I get scared for him.
Yeah, I think the accent helps. It's window dressing to what he says. But I agree with you. He's a good quote. He didn't seem right there. But again, you don't know whether that's the whiskey he sells or whether that's years of CTE.
I'm just telling you that this person is very good at selling stuff. He's been excellent at selling stuff, and that was a catastrophe. Like, I felt bad for Jake Gyllenhaal sitting next to him, having to hear for the second time he's been in 75 movies. Right. In that movie, one of the interesting things to watch is how they tried to hide that Conor McGregor's tiny. They did it a number of different
open
ways.
Stances for
yes
for did you mean Aldo? How Conor McGregor really shot into sort him over BJ Penn. I thought the movie was fun. It is exactly what I wanted to see out of that type of movie, and I thought Conor McGregor was really good in playing Conor McGregor. That video is sad. Yeah. The video that we just showed, because his face is clearly super red, and it's not because he laid out in the sun. His tongue is heavy. His eyes look kind of odd. You pointed out the tics that he has. That was a dude who's got a reputation and leans into his reputation of being hard partying. He doesn't hide that fact. That looks like a dude that was having himself a good time.
Well, slow is what he seems.
Yeah, yeah. And he's slouched. He's slouched. Like he looks like that dude is at the end of a bender right there. That's what the appearances are. And he's had several public appearances where he doesn't look like that. So I do think that is cause for some concern there.
Chris Cody, I think the first sighting of Conor McGregor, and they went out of their way introducing Conor McGregor because this is the turn. He will do some more fighting, but his best days are behind him, even though he can still get a paycheck. So this will be part of the transition into whatever his life is. Roadhouse made a point of saying this is introducing Conor McGregor as an actor. He doesn't appear in the movie until about an hour in. Nothing much happens in the movie until an hour in. But when he does appear, he appears nude and then gratuitously bends over. Just letting you know.
Now I'm intrigued.
That was fun. It's fun. He's really funny in it.
It's the best acting he did in the entire movie.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. I don't know what you were looking for out of that movie, but I got everything that I wanted.
Jake Gyllenhaal makes good choices. That's what I'm looking for. There are certain actors and actresses, there are like 10 of them, that I like their choices. This was not a good choice.
No.
Did you ever watch Prince of Persia?
I'm not saying he makes all good choices.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.